This is the BrizNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa.
And welcome to the BrizNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman sitting in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Action Ed DeRosa joining me this evening. Your hour, ladies and gentlemen, here on HRRN. Call in anything you want. We will be as honest as can possibly be. The number to call, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Lots of things to discuss today. This is possibly the final ever Arlington Million. I'm still calling it the Arlington Million. I know it's not called the Arlington Million this year. It's now called the Mr. D. It's not a $1 million purse. It's down to $600,000. It's still a phenomenal race. It's still the highlight of the Arlington Park season, and it takes place this Saturday at Arlington. It's their million racing day. The Arlington Million, now the Mr. D, the Beverly D, the Bruce D. They've got the Pucker Up. They've got other stakes that day. It's a phenomenal day of racing. I'm really sad to see Arlington go, but I'm really excited about another big day of racing at Arlington. They've been doing it very, very well there for a long, long time. And I'm looking forward to what certainly seems like the final of the big days at Arlington. Pleased to be joined now by Action Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and BrizNet.com. Ed, welcome once again to your hour, the BrizNet.com call-in show, and another week of racing. Lots to talk about, lots going on this weekend, both on and off the racetrack.
As always in this game, but certainly in the summer months, things heat up. And as you said, in the open, a lot of eyes, for better or worse, on Arlington International this week with its trio of grade ones, Horse of the Year contender in domestic spending in the Mr. D, and obviously some long faces as well as probably the last big crowd other than maybe closing day, prepares for its salutations to Arlington.
I don't know. Have you had the pleasure of going to Arlington or being at an Arlington Million?
Yeah, this will be my 10th million.
I've mentioned it many times, and I went out of my way about a month ago to visit Arlington for perhaps the last time in my lifetime. I went on a Thursday when it really wasn't the greatest card of racing in the world, but you could tell that things were different there. But that facility has not changed months since they built it after the fire. It was absolutely one of the meccas of horse racing then. It is as beautiful now as it was then. It still is one of the places where, you feel like you're walking almost on hallowed ground. It's beautiful inside and out. Yes, it's a shame what's happening and the fact that they'll probably not be racing there after this summer. But, that's a track for our fans that have not had the chance to go to Arlington, whether they can make it, million day or not, if you have a chance one more time this summer to get out there, truly see one of the most beautiful racetracks in the country.
No, I agree. It's, I have Churchill number one, which, some might claim bias, but it was there before I worked there. And then I have a tough time separating between Oaklawn and Arlington is my two and three. So I guess it'll be Oaklawn after next month. But it's just, we kind of use the cliche about European style and, the majestic courses that they're known for over there, like Ascot and Longchamp. And Arlington is our answer to that, unquestionably. And it's great that so many tracks in the States have their local flavor to them, like Saratoga, and the SoCal tracks are very California. Arlington is sort of our international style course, and I just haven't been to any other track like it.
It's a beautiful facility. It's about 25 minutes northwest of downtown Chicago, depending on how much traffic you get, but definitely out in the suburbs and a beautiful racetrack, even now in what seems like its final days. The number to reach us, by the way, 888-966-4776. Anything you want to talk about? You want to talk about Arlington in their final days? You would like to talk about the big day of racing this Saturday at Arlington? Maybe last Saturday's big day at Saratoga, Whitney Day, and everything we saw from Nick's Go and all of these other great runners. Maybe you want to talk about the Hall of Fame inductions. You know, here's something that's intriguing with the Hall of Fame and other things that happened last week. So Chad Brown got his 2,000th career victory last week, Ed, and if he does that another 3.5 times, he will still not have as many wins as Steve Asmussen now has. Steve Asmussen, of course, becoming the all-time leading trainer for thoroughbreds in North American history with 9445, eclipsing Dale Baird's long-standing record. I think he's somewhere around 9450 right now is Steve Asmussen. Obviously, no signs of slowing down. Speaking of Dale Baird, though, looking at Dale Baird's stats, so he has 9,445 wins in his career, which began in 1961 and ended in 2007. So he held the record from 2007 till second half of 2021. Somehow this man is not in the Racing Hall of Fame. I know he doesn't train, or he did not train well-known runners. He did not train a bevy of graded stakes horses. Most of his horses were trained at smaller tracks like Mountaineer or Waterford or, you know, places like that.
Commodore.
How is it possible a guy with 9,445 wins who held the record for 14 years is not in the Hall of Fame?
And probably actually held the record longer than that. I don't know who is the leader when he became the leader. I'm guessing maybe Vanberg, whenever he passed him. So more than 14 years. You know, I'm being honest, I would guess that one of the issues might be his reputation with where horses went after they raced. I could see that weighing on the mind of some.
Well, I hope that's not it. Let's go to the phones, though. Lou in Colorado, you're on HRN. Welcome. Hey, Lou, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hey, Lou, you've got Bobby and Ed. Welcome to Brisnet.com call-in show.
Thank you. I called to talk about Arlington because I grew up in Chicago, and I will be there this Saturday because there was no way I could miss it. Looking forward to it. I wish I would have spent more time there than I did, but a great facility, and it will be. I'm very happy to be there for this last big day.
Well, Lou, if you're calling from Colorado, if it was winter, I would say it sounds like you're on the slopes. But right now, I'm guessing you're at the airport on your way over to Chicago.
I actually am on the slope, kind of coming into Denver, and then I fly out in the morning.
Well, so Lou, you grew up in Chicago. You're headed out to Arlington. Tell us, what is the sense you get of what it's going to be like this Saturday at Arlington? I would expect that they're going to have a massive crowd.
I think it's going to be phenomenal. Just from looking at, like, Ed's going to be there and looking at the Twitterverse and social media, there's people coming from all over. So I think it's going to be electric. I think it's going to be great that we've got, you know, you got Chad sending horses there. You know, we're going to see some good horses and some good racing, and I think that makes it even that much more worthwhile. You know, that it's not just because it's the last hurrah, but I think we're also going to be treated to some good racing. So I think it's going to be electric. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing.
Before we let you go, Lou, what's your favorite million winner of all time?
Got to go back to when I was definitely younger. John Henry. John Henry was just such a I mean, just such a warrior. And so I remember way back, I wasn't there, but I remember watching it. And, you know, I used to love watching John Henry run anywhere, but having him beat it at Arlington was just awesome.
Well, thanks for your call, Lou. We really appreciate it. Have a lot of fun this weekend at Arlington.
Saturday.
And I think Lou's right, Ed. I think they're going to have a very big crowd on Saturday. I know a lot of people who are going there that don't live in Chicago. They're making the trip out there specifically for this. It's going to feel like a gigantic day once again, and it should.
Absolutely. And the weather is no excuse. 80, sunny, cool in the morning. Should be, you know, the total Chamber of Commerce day. Bittersweet. I don't want to say I can't wait because part of me knows when it's over, that's it for me in Arlington. But it should be a lot of fun.
And, you know, it's so funny. He mentions John Henry. I've made no bones about it. John Henry is maybe the horse that I like the least of all time. And and I respect John Henry. Obviously, he was a great, great horse. He won in 1981 with Bill Shoemaker. He won in 84 with Chris McCarron. For some reason, whenever John Henry ran, I lost. If I bet on him, he got beat. If I bet against him, he won. Thus, I'm very biased against John Henry solely on a, you know, very selfish, very little money, because I wasn't betting very much money back then. But solely because of that, whenever John Henry showed up, it was basically like me throwing money into the furnace. And but I can see why a lot of people like John Henry. Let's go back to the phones. Paul in Connecticut, you're on Brisnet.com call and show with Bobby and Ed.
Hey, Bobby and Ed, I haven't called in a while. I just tuned in for the first time in a while. I want to comment about Dale Baird. I did a little volunteer work at the National Museum of Racing and did some analysis on one jockey, saw kind of the process. Maybe one of you guys is even on the committee. But my argument in defense of this guy, notwithstanding what Ed said about whatever happened with the horses, is he dominated at his level, and I think there's the bias that he wasn't the big money guy. Not in particular to individual people, but to me, he's the backbone of horse racing, because I used to go to Charlestown, Pimlico, Laurel, and Bowie when I lived in Maryland. And at times I've gone to fair meetings in Great Barrington in the Tri-County Fair. And I went to the old Long Acres. You know, I've been all over. And Larry, I get mixed up now because I get excited. Bobby, you, where you're at, I love those kind of places. So horse race isn't just Saratoga, Del Mar, and so forth, Keeneland. It, Baird made the game special even at that level, I think. Okay, that's all I had to say.
Paul, really, thanks for your call. Really appreciate it. Ed, you know, he and I agree completely on this. And, you know, we actually talked with this with a caller from St. Louis last week, brought up David Gall not getting into the Hall of Fame. And I thought David Gall, hands down, should be in the Hall of Fame. He's the fifth leading rider all time. And it's kind of the same thing. You know, David Gall plied his trade at a place at Fairmount Park in Cahokia that really didn't get a lot of attention. Dale Baird plied his trade on tracks that really were not the, you know, the highest level. Most of his races were like in Mountaineer, Waterford. He'd be in the, you know, he might be in the Mid-Atlantic region for some of those races. Never really, you know, prominent in graded stake races. I kind of compared it to a baseball player who spent most of his year in Colorado, or most of his career in Colorado with the Rockies. Should that be held against him because he's a great player but happens to be playing where everyone thinks the stats are inflated?
Well, it's a fair question. And, I mean, I can't believe Pat Valenzuela isn't in the Hall of Fame. I think that's a disgrace.
Well, he's my favorite rider of all time. You're not going to get an argument. To me, when he was on his game, I've never seen anyone better than him. I don't know if he's better than everyone, but I've never seen anyone better than him.
Yeah, with the so-called signature wins to back it up, which you sort of alluded to in the case of Baird and Gall. And I bring P-Val up because, you know, his demons are well documented, and it just does seem like this committee, and for those that don't know, it's a two-part voting process. There's sort of the what I call the gatekeeper community who decides who's eligible to be voted on. And then there's a larger pool of voters that then vote people or horses into the Hall of Fame. And people like P-Val don't even get past that gatekeeper stage, which, again, I just is an embarrassment. You can't call it a horse racing Hall of Fame if P-Val's not there. And to me, there's also the idea of, okay, well, who's the Hall of Fame for? And if you think it's for the Blue Bloods, then, I mean, black and white, it makes perfect sense why David Gall or Dale Baird wouldn't be in there, you know, if it's sort of for the gentry and that type of Sport of Kings attitude of horse racing. But if you think of the Hall of Fame as I do, which is for the fans and for people to visit and celebrate accomplishments in the sport, then it's much tougher in my mind to deny any of the three we've just talked about.
Completely agree. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
The 86th running of the Grade 3 Long Acres Mile is this Sunday, August 15th at Emerald Downs. Post time is 5:46 Pacific time. It's the biggest race in the Pacific Northwest, and this year's field includes 2019 runner-up Any Port in the Storm, last year's second-place finisher Five-Star General, and the speedy local star Papa's Golden Boy. It should be a great betting race, and remember that all superfectas at Emerald Downs have just a 15% takeout. Don't miss the Long Acres Mile this Sunday from Emerald Downs.
Join HRRN every Saturday morning for the Equine Forum in its new three-hour format. Mike Penna will bring you interviews with the biggest names in thoroughbred racing, as well as new features like In the Room with Sean Clancy, Unsung Heroes, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, and more. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa on a Thursday evening. It's now time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Golden Pal confirmed for Nunthorpe after August 11th breeze. Ace three-year-old turf sprinter Golden Pal travels August 12th for an overnight flight from Indianapolis, Indiana, to Britain to compete in the August 20th Group 1 Coolmore Wooten Bassett Nunthorpe Stakes at York Racecourse, trainer Wesley Ward said. Last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint winner will make his second start 2021 in Nunthorpe, where he's projected as the joint favorite with European standout Suesa. Last out, Golden Pal won the July 15th Grade 3 Quick Call Stakes at Saratoga by three lengths. That was his first start since Coolmore-affiliated partnership. Mrs. John Magner, Mike Tabor, Derek Smith, and Westerberg acquired him from breeder Randall Lowe. Golden Pal raced for Lowe throughout his two-year-old season. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through bloodhorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, monthly credit on equineline.com for pedigrees, race, and produce records, and much more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on bloodhorse.com. Upgrade today. Back now to the phone lines here on the Brisnut.com call-in show. Tom in St. Louis, you're on with Bobby and Ed.
Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey there, Tom.
I'm doing fine. Bobby, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time last week to answer my question in as much detail as you did about Dave Gall. I have played that for some of the locals here that knew Dave, and you'll never know and never realize how much it really affected local people when I played that on Saturday for people at the track, that somebody nationwide would actually have that kind of an opinion. You ever come to St. Louis, you give me a call, I'd be happy to take you out for a drink and everything like that. I just want to tell you that. Means a lot to me. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Tom. And Tom is a big advocate for Dave Gall being into the Hall of Fame, Ed. And similar to Dale Baird, I think not getting the recognition simply because of where he plied his trade.
Oh, without question.
I have no other suggestions to the Hall of Fame, in any Hall of Fame. Number one, just do a small racetrack wing. Get guys that, you know, are knowledgeable on the small racetrack, historians. I don't know where you set the threshold, but let them every year, you know, have some nominations or bring up things that happened at an Ellis, whatever. Insert your racetrack. You guys are going to, Sunday you're covering the race, the Long Acres Mile you just talked about. Those are guys you never hear about. I'm in St. Louis. I never watch a race at Emerald Downs. It's the West Coast. It's, you know, up in the Northwest. They get horses from Turf Paradise. I just never follow it. But there's enough small racetracks out there. And when you come into it, those are the people that get the backbone of the sport, where they hone their skills, where they go to the next level, that aren't kind of the, hey, I went to University of Arizona and my father was in the industry and he called and got me an interview with this guy and I did that. That's where you see a lot of the grooms start. Or the other one, to touch on your P-Val and, you know, other people, I've always talked about Joe Namath being in the Hall of Fame. He completed 49.7% of the passes. But at the end of the day, the doors say Hall of Fame. Joe was famous. He might not have been accomplishment, but I think you should put two classes in every year. On the left side, you put the famous people. Tinkers, Devers, a chance for baseball historians. I think one of them hit like 240, one of them hit like 212. But they were famous because of a poem and people knew them. So you know what? They're synonymous with the sport they get in. And then on the right side, have your people that have accomplishments. Like the PGA Tour Hall of Fame. You hit 40 wins, you're automatically in. You hit certain thresholds of certain accomplishment, and that can be adjusted for subjective. But that would solve this problem, I think, of how to get people in. And I think there's so many people that do unique things. Riders that win 6-7 races in a night. You know, anybody that does that should be in the Hall of Fame. People that have, you know, record seasons. My father had a horse that won 43 races. I would never say that horse wanted to be in. My father raced that horse till he was 12. He was hoping that if he got to be 50 wins, because some guy told him one time at the racetrack, you win 50 races, you're in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, he put sauerkraut on that horse to keep him from running down. And, you know, you give people at a small track motivation, it keeps them coming back in the sport. Switching gears. Two things. number one, a question I don't know the answer to. The Saratoga special on the Brisnet, it said 24 nominations and one supplemented. Does anybody know who that supplemented horse was?
Ed, do you know who that could have been?
I don't, but I'm going to look now.
Okay. I didn't know where to look on Brisnet. And the other thing, guys, I just got to say this. I'm an Illinois resident. I got three real big memories, and I put them into two branches of the Arlington Million. Number one, I'm a huge Wayne Lucas fan. I always think what sets Lucas apart from Baffert is Lucas also won on the grass, and when he won the Arlington Million in 97 with Marlin with Gary Stevens. And the other guys, oh, and it's the one where I met Mike and Jude that day at the racetrack the first time, the two terrible worst takedowns I've ever seen in the history of horse racing. Someone explain to me, I'm 52 and it happened 7 years ago, how they ever took down the Apache that day when they took down the Apache and gave Ramsey the win. And then also when Power Squirt got taken down that year, which I could see because the jockey was shaking the whip at him, but Power Squirt came back the next year and won the race for Aiden O'Brien. Just Arlington Million memories that, and you know, I don't want to get into what or why or any of that, but it's just an absolute shame that a racetrack and a cathedral like that in the third largest city in the country just has to go away. You know, when that place was built, you could take engineering students there to show how beautiful it was. It was my first, quote, beautiful racetrack I ever attended. I mean, Oaklawn is nice. You know, I grew up beating the sticks with my father at, you know, the local tracks around and Ellis and things like that. But when you walked into that place, it was like the marble floors and the whole nine yards. It was unbelievable. And I don't know, guys. I appreciate you giving me a forum every week to talk. I echo the words of McCarron. This is the best show on the air, only made better when I get to on the air before Charles. That way I'm going to see some good pitches from the pitchers and you guys coming out of the pen, you know, to make it right. And Bobby, great speech last week and great opinion. And I'm going to shut up and let you guys give another one. Have a good week, gentlemen.
Thanks for your call, Tom. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Ed,
yeah.
Were you able to figure out who that was, the supplemental nominee to the Saratoga special?
And I have the noms, and I'm not seeing any designation. I've looked Equibase, Thorough Manager, nothing's on Naira. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Those were certainly big takedowns that Tom mentioned in the Arlington Mill. What a storied history this race has had since 1981. You know,
yeah, they packed a lot in 30 years.
And
40, excuse me.
The amazing thing about this race, and I mentioned at the end of race day, you know, this was the first million-dollar race in this country. I'm not counting the Triple Crown races. But the Arlington Million began in 1981.
Oh, this was a million way before those.
What's that?
Well,
you're right, before the Triple Crown. But, I mean, they ran four Arlington Millions before there was ever one Breeders' Cup race run. So this was a big deal, and even though there are other races that have exceeded the million-dollar purse, you know, it retained the stature through the years and kept year after year getting the top horses, not in this country on the turf, but, you know, a lot of the top horses from around the world converging on Arlington Heights one day a year for this big day of racing. Let's go back out to the phones. George in Naples, you're on with Bobby and Ed on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey, guys. Happy Thursday. I have an Arlington comment and a question for Ed. I went to the Breeders' Cup when it was at Arlington, and other than running out of hot chocolate in the fourth race when it was 41 degrees, it was a great experience. They handled it very well, and that kind of leads me to Arlington in itself. Forget the racing for a minute. The actual physical plant with the raised apron and the sight lines that are second to none. When you stand on that track apron, you can see better than anywhere in the country on the track apron, without question. And the actual physical beauty of the plant with the willow trees and the train pulling up and the architecture of the plant. You know, I've been to 11 Breeders' Cups. I've been to Woodbine. I've been to California tracks. I've been to Keeneland. I've been to Churchill, Saratoga, Belmont, all of them. And from a physical standpoint, there might be some that are as good, but there are none better. So on paper, we're going to end up bulldozing the best engineered plant for fans in the country because of the commute. The train from downtown takes you right there. It's just so many things going for it that it's a shame that Illinois couldn't get out of its own way. And Ed, I know you really can't comment on a lot of this because of your connections. One thing that was my comment on Arlington. I had an amazing time when I went there. It was my second favorite Breeders' Cup of all, next to Woodbine. I guess because I had 70 degrees the last weekend of October in Toronto in 96 when Sikar got beat. So that probably had something to do with it. Ed, my question for you is, you know, and I don't know how far you can go with this answer because of your connections, but talking Derby for a second, how soon till Churchill gets nervous and you start to personally think about, remember when you were talking about how great the 50,000 people was and it was just the perfect environment? At what point does Churchill have a plan B in store for not having 160,000 people the way COVID is on the rise? Or do you think they're already stirring that pot?
I mean, my sense is they want to get back to more people. And, you know, this year the people they didn't have were primarily, you know, the GA on the front side, which
yep.
admittedly was nice. I mean, I know what you're referring to, and I'm not going to deny that was a very comfortable experience. I do think with this move, the new grandstand, for lack of a better word, on the first turn, and yep. I forget what they're calling it, the home stretch club or something like that. I do think they're looking at making the most of the space to spread people out and, you know, sort of offer that comfortable, you know, regardless of the tier of seat and what you paid, that unless you're in the infield on a busy day, you know, you're not going to have to muscle your way and controlling lines on the front side. I do see that as sort of the future, so to speak. And I think that first turn seating that they've now made permanent is sort of a way to, you know, spread the people around a little more and give that experience like we had this year, regardless of where you
All
are.
Right. Yeah, that's a good answer, and I think it's obviously, in my opinion, it's going to be very fluid, and it's going to be constantly changing. You know, I'm sure they're going to have plan A, B, C, and D at some
oh,
very
yeah.
soon.
Always.
Because it's not as far away as we all think it is. And as far as Arlington goes, you know, final thought, my thought is forgetting the Illinois racing climate. If they could tear that physical plant down, If we as a racing community can tear down that physical plant, any plant is susceptible. And I'll leave you guys with that. Thanks for a great show as always.
Thanks, George. Thanks for your call. Listen, obviously a lot has to do with the business dealings of the people that own Arlington, and it's a business decision. And as George has mentioned, we're a little bit hamstrung with what we can or cannot say or what we want to say about that. But I think we all agree this. They've had a tremendous history at Arlington. It is a beautiful facility. They're going to have a great day this Saturday. And we all wish that this wasn't the final year of Arlington. Am I good on all of those points, Ed?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. The phone lines are open once again. Give us a call. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
You get that every time.
Maybe I'll try this now. Reservations at your favorite restaurant.
Thanks so much for waiting. Your table's ready.
Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed.
Perfect. Thanks.
Get the latest info about COVID-19 vaccines at getvaccineanswers.org. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day, presented by Twin Spios, comes to you every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on HRRN. Bobby Newman joins me for racing from tracks like Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and Santa Anita. We'll also bring you interviews with all of the players, both big and small, in thoroughbred racing. You can tune in to Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
And welcome back to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman sitting in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Action Ed DeRosa on the lines as well. We'll hold out to the phone lines. Chris in New Jersey, welcome to the call-in show.
Thank you, Bobby and Ed. Ed, I realize that Saturday is going to be a bittersweet day for you. I hope you enjoy every minute of it, and I hope you bear down and you walk out of there after winning the pick five. Walk out of there with your head held high with a good memory. You have to fear for the future of horse racing now that in Boston and Chicago there's not going to be any racing. I realize that when I go to Saratoga, you still see a bunch of guys from Boston who take the Mass Pike out there. But the next generations, I don't know where they're going to come from when you have big cities like that where you don't have a racetrack. And when you're Churchill Downs, to me, it's got to be more than the bottom line. I know I'm singing a sad song, but you hold the public trust of this game. And if Churchill Downs tries to take the Arlington Million or whatever the heck they want to call it going forward to a CDI track, it has to be boycotted. I hope that in the future the Arlington Million does not go away and there is an Arlington Million Day, maybe with a different name that rotates from track to track. You hear that Colonial Downs has a great turf course. You love to see it. Maybe up in Woodbine. Could go to Delaware. Obviously, I'm a Monmouth guy. I'm selfish there. I just hope that there aren't two travesties. We already are going to have one. Arlington is gone. But I hope that this festival of turf racing can continue on, even if it's at Kentucky Downs. I just hope it can go forward. I'm going to hang up, and good luck this weekend, guys. And, Ed, take down that pick five. Go out swinging. I'll talk to you later.
I love it.
Thanks for your call, Chris. Really appreciate it. You know, Chris is another one who's just he's very passionate about this sport. And it's very easy for us to get on the train of we wish that Arlington wouldn't go away. He's passionate about a lot of things in horse racing. It's not just Arlington. Now, from what I read, and you probably know more about this, I think if indeed this is the final season at Arlington Park, that Hawthorne is prepared to bid for different race dates than what they've had in the past. I think they would look toward running more in good weather dates as opposed to cold weather dates like they've had in the past. And not to say that they would pick up all the slack left by Arlington not being there, but I think they're prepared to pick up a lot of the slack.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus. I certainly wouldn't blame them. They do have a turf course there. You know, I don't know if they'd have designs on buying these races from CDI, and I say that not to be callous, but I mean, that's just something, you know, I think a lot of people maybe not aware of in this game, that, you know, the racetrack owns the stakes, so to speak, you know, or just looking to start from scratch and do their own things. And Chicago has that niche in the summer, but yeah, I would expect summer racing in Chicago, and maybe, you know, they juggle it a little bit. I mean, it's a crowded calendar in the Midwest, as we both know. You're at Prairie Meadows, Canterbury's running, Ellis, Indiana Grand. You know, this might be an opportunity to juggle things a bit and, you know, offer some higher quality racing with fewer dates in Chicago. But, you know, you certainly hate to have those discussions, because, you know, that means it's coming at the expense of Arlington. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I thought Chris made a really good point. And, you know, Bobby, you know, I grew up at Cleveland, and Thistledown is a big reason I'm a fan and passionate about this game growing up there, and you spent time there. And it does boggle my mind that, you know, we're at a point now where Boston, Chicago's down to one track. Detroit doesn't have a track. Omaha, which has a fantastic thoroughbred racing fan base, lost Exarban. It's not good for racing when tracks exit major metropolitan areas. There's no positive spin to that.
No, now they do have Horseman's Park in Omaha, but it's completely different. it's completely different than what Exarban was. And by the way, they got approved for casino gaming in Nebraska, and apparently it's tied to racing. So there may be another track or two opening up. I don't think it's going to be anywhere close to what Exarban was in their heyday. I think it's going to be more of, we're opening a racetrack because we need to have the casino year round, that kind of a racetrack.
Right. But, you know, you do have Fawner in Nebraska, which, you know, when you see the pictures of the weekend, you know, I've seen it compared to Oaklawn in that regard. And it's a struggle for me, because, you know, you hear this about racing, and sure, it's not what it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, really what is. There's always an ebb and flow, but, you know, when you spend time at these racetracks with the people there, it's a real passion that it's tough to find in other events. And I just wish we weren't losing these facilities in big cities.
This is not just an Arlington Park show. We've talked a lot about Arlington and the Arlington Million, but feel free to call in about anything else. Maybe you want to talk about what George Navarro is doing these days. That's always fun reading. Or the fact that Bob Baffert ran a horse at Saratoga last weekend. She didn't run very well, but, you know, about a month ago, people probably didn't think that Bob Baffert would be running any horses at Saratoga. He ran Illumination in the test. He's got Gamine pointed to a race at the end of the month. And on cue, we will head out to one of our favorite people, Charles in Mississippi. Welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show once again.
Bobby and Ed,
I feel like we're in
trouble.
How are y'all doing? How are you, Charles?
He broke out the
wet wonderful, noodle. Wonderful. I want to ask you and Ed a question. And who's the best horse you've seen run all year? If you had to pick the number one horse in any grass, dirt, anything, who is the best horse you've seen run this year?
Ed, I'll let you go first with that one.
I would pick the horse I get to see on Saturday. I saw Domestic Spending get the dead heat in the Old Forester on Derby Day. I was not there live for the Manhattan, but I thought that was a bricks and mortar, you know, different running style, but that was one of those like, oh, wow, this horse, you know, could compete internationally. So I'll go with Domestic Spending.
All right, so Domestic Spending, who of course runs this weekend in the Mr. D. Boy, it would be very, very close for me. I mean, I think Nick's goes races when he's good are so far better than anyone else running on dirt. I'll go his direction in that way. Go ahead, Charles.
I can't blame either one of y'all for what y'all said, but I'm going to go with that horse, that Mistress, that won the Saudi Cup and then came back 5 weeks later and won the Turf.
Mishriff.
Won a $20 million race, and he won a $6 million race.
Mishriff.
And if Gosden brings him to the Breeders' Cup, the Mississippi Kid will strike because he's the best horse I've seen.
You want to see him in the Turf or the Classic?
No, I want to see him in the dirt. I think he's a better dirt horse, Ed.
Sure. Me too. Yeah.
So I mean, when he ran on the Turf, he beat two bears from Japan. If you go back and watch his two races, they're lights out better than any horse.
He's legit.
If Gosden brings him,
he's running next week. You know that?
Somebody had told me that. Yeah. But I want to see him in the dirt.
That's a good answer.
And Ed and Bobby, I'm a lot older than both of y'all, and you know I love the sport. But our sport, unless we do a better job of educating people and how to bet, and the people that, there are people that just don't realize how to bet. They have no money management skills, and that's why as I've gotten older, when I see younger people and novices come to the track and they ask for my help, I try to give it to them. And that's the only way we're going to grow our sport one person at a time. And I've instilled everybody, my daughters and my grandchildren, to love the sport. I don't know if they'll ever love it as much as I do. But, I truly can say this. My life would be a lot less rounded if horse racing wasn't in it, because not only do I read everything about horse racing, I like to watch horse racing. I like to go to horse races. It's not just the betting part. Now, I like the betting part, but where would we be without horse racing? And I'll leave you guys and thank Brisnets for sponsoring the show, because it's truly a blessing, Ed. And I always get my Brisnet PPs. And next week when I call in, I'm going to tell you the story of the year, okay? So y'all be ready, and y'all
Charles
take care of yourself, okay, guys?
Thanks for your call, Charles. Really appreciate it. Yeah, a lot to chew on there, Ed. You know what? Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll talk a little about what Charles said. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
The 86th running of the Grade 3 Long Acres Mile is this Sunday, August 15th at Emerald Downs. Post time is 5:46 Pacific Time. It's the biggest race in the Pacific Northwest, and this year's field includes 2019 runner-up Any Port in the Storm, last year's second-place finisher Five Star General, and the speedy local star Papa's Golden Boy. It should be a great betting race, and remember that all superfectas at Emerald Downs have just a 15% takeout. Don't miss the Long Acres Mile this Sunday from Emerald Downs.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa on a Thursday evening. Back out to the phone lines we go. Peter in New York, welcome to the call-in show.
Thanks for taking my call. Love your insights, Bobby, on the show every day.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Peter.
My question is a very simple question. And I was at the Whitney the other day and watched Nix go romp. My question is, do you think he can get the extra eighth of a mile and go the mile and a quarter for the Classic? Or do you think a mile and an eighth is the farthest that he can go?
Well, first of all, thanks for your call, Peter. Really appreciate it. That's a big question, isn't it, Ed? That extra eighth of a mile and a quarter, because it certainly sounds like Brad Cox and his team are all systems go forward to the Breeders' Cup Classic and not back to the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile with Nix Go. Most likely he's going to be running another mile and an eighth in a prep race, maybe in the Awesome again at Santa Anita, maybe somewhere else, but then trying a mile and a quarter for the first time. And I guess the biggest, you know, it may be just a question of, do you think this horse is just, you know, an ungodly super horse when he gets around two turns? Is that just literally the difference for him? Or is a mile and an eighth and a mile and a quarter going to be a gigantic difference?
I just can't see it being an issue if he gets into that cruising situation. I don't want to say reminds me of Go Sapper, because it's still a little different, but you know, it's just one of those, like, if he gets out there, like, how does anyone beat him? And, you know, it's important to remember, I think, he didn't show up for the Met Mile. I mean, that was a mile race. That was a one-turn mile. That should have been right in his wheelhouse. So, you know, I understand why the distance is a question, but to me, it's just about, and I don't want to say setup, because I think that's unfair to his talent. He doesn't need everything to go his way, certainly. He makes his own way with his, you know, controlling speed, but he's not invincible. But I don't think it won't be the length of the race that does him in.
You know, I mentioned this the other day. You know, we saw two performances last weekend at Saratoga that are staggering to look at compared to most horses we get to watch. And they were the Whitney with Nix Go and the Glens Falls with Warlike Goddess. Different kind of running styles, but still staggering performances. When it comes to Nix Go, he's faster than everybody early, and he's faster than everyone from the top of the stretch to the wire. You just never see that. I mean, it's unreal. They can't get the lead away from him, and then when they get to the top of the stretch, he spurts away from everybody else, and that's all there is to it. It's just remarkable when he's on his game what he does. And when it comes to Warlike Goddess, she gives me the same impression that very few runners gave me. It's kind of like the impression Zenyatta would give you when she was running against like those grade three and really not really grade three, kind of like higher allowance level grade three competition at Hollywood Park, where Warlike Goddess can be as far back as she wants early. She catches up to everybody seemingly without even trying, and then her stride is twice as big as everybody else's down the stretch, and they have no chance of outfooting her. These two runners are just so amazing compared to everything else you see out there.
I'd say that's fair. I think, there's always the class test, and it would be great to see the rematch with Mishriff, and, Charles would definitely be loosening the wallet, because assuming Nixco wins the prep, I don't see any way he's not the favorite for the Classic unless, Central Quality runs off the screen in the Travers or something. But, Mishriff's is attractive for sure, and he's already beaten him. Nixco will be that many months older and, running domestically. So he'll be a worthy favorite. But I've seen the division take some lumps, and I don't get it, Bobby. I think this Classic could be really intriguing, especially if Latruska keeps winning and the trainer who's hinted at wanting to take on males ends up going that route.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she could try to bother Nixco on the front end. Doesn't seem like it would work out very well for her.
No,
if she tried to do that.
I don't mention her thinking she would be a contender, but it certainly would add to the excitement about the race.
By the way, the other race apparent that Nixco that they're at least thinking about for Nixco is the Lucas at Churchill Downs the same day, October 2nd. I think there's a very minor talk about maybe going back to a two-turn mile on Pennsylvania Derby Day at Parks for a race there, but kind of seems counterproductive if they went back to a mile only to go forward to a mile and a quarter at the end of the year. Almost out of time. We'll go back to the phones for one last call. Tom in Wisconsin, you're on with Bobby and Ed.
Hey, guys. I'll try to keep it quick here, but long-time fan of horse racing. I live up in Madison, Wisconsin. It's about a two-hour drive to Arlington. I've been to the last 15. We've actually had every birthday party there for my eight-year-old since he was little, so it'll be a sad day this weekend, but we'll be heading down. My quick story, my favorite Arlington million, that is a quick handicapping question for you. My favorite million, have you guys ever heard of a pony cycle before, Toy?
I have not.
Ponies, no.
So it's basically like a bike. It's a big stuffed animal horse on rollerblades that kids can ride around, and then they jump up and down, and it moves forward. So anyway, the year of Pizza Man, there was a gift shop set up there, and they were selling these things. And my kid was 3 years old, and he's begging me for one of these things. And I said, well, I tell you what, if we hit the pick four, I'll buy you that thing. And so we went out, and we sure enough, Pizza Man came rolling home. And we hit the pick four, it was like $800-900, I think, that day. We went and bought that pony cycle for him, and he took off on that thing when we left, and all the fans were flooding out to the parking lot, and about 5,000 people were yelling and cheering for him as he drilled through the crowd, and we just had a great time that day, but just thought I'd share that. My quick Arlington handicapping question for the weekend, there's some pretty heavy favorites in all the stakes races. I don't know if you had a chance to look, but do you have any that are more vulnerable than others, do you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to beat the top two choices in the Beverly D. I just think it's a more competitive race than that. Definitely a gamble. Neither Mean Mary nor Santa Barbara would shock me, but I think they're going to be everyone's lean, and even in a race where some might spread, hopefully I can make some use of letting them beat me completely. And I have a really hard time envisioning what it would take for any of these horses to beat domestic spending. So as much as I hate to lean on the most obvious choice, I just think he's lock city to me, and we'll see what kind of price we get. But I would even consider a win bet at 4-5.
Tom, thanks very much for your call. Sorry that we had to cut you off. We're kind of up against it here at the top of the hour. Obviously going to be an emotional Saturday at Arlington Park. The final, I'm still calling it, the final Arlington Million, final Arlington Million day. It's now a $600,000 purse. It's called the Mr. D. It's going to be a fantastic race. It's going to be a fantastic day. If you can't get to Arlington, make sure you watch their coverage on TV for what is certainly going to be an emotional and great day of racing in suburban Chicago. Ed, really enjoyed it once again this evening.
Got
to do it more
and
often.
Thank you,
friend.
Again for the assist last week.
Anytime, pal. Anytime, pal. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself in Chicago. For producer Lee Delapina, co-host Ed DeRosa, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us on the BristNet.com call-in show. Be back with Anthony Stabile for Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, tomorrow, 3 to 6 Eastern Time.